Okay, our final speaker then is Jenny Bryan and spreadsheets.
So thanks very much for being here. I'll talk about spreadsheets, which most people seem to find very, very cathartic. So I hope you'll enjoy it. And I have slides and more importantly, lots of links about things that I'm referencing or that have inspired me throughout the talk to go here so that I'm not footnoting as I go. So you can find everything easily from my GitHub. And so my co-author here, they somehow sort of fell off the program, but that I want to make sure you know about is Rich Fitzjohn, who's a research software engineer at University College London. And he's someone I know through working with R OpenSci. And we were together in December, and we were noticing that a lot of the data we get in collaborative projects, for better or for worse, comes to us in spreadsheets. And a lot of these spreadsheets are very difficult to bring into R quickly in a ready-to-analyze way, because people are not sort of parking a clean little rectangle of data in the upper left-hand corner. And that inspired us to think about whether we could make some of these things a bit easier to bring in. So those of us who script analyses, I think, tend to vent on spreadsheets a lot. And this is at least a funny and I think somewhat accurate characterization of one of our objections about spreadsheets, is that it's this sort of moonscape where we can't necessarily record everything that happened or explain exactly how it got to be the way it is. But I also want to put this up to push back against it a little bit and mount something of a defense of spreadsheets, at least as a reasonable behavior. I'm not saying that I want all of my data to come to me in spreadsheets. And so part of it is just admitting the prevalence of spreadsheets instead of fighting against it constantly. Like, let's just admit that there is a ton of spreadsheets out there. And there's a lot of people that I want to work with that I think are very smart, that are doing very good work. And this is how their project is going to come to me, and I should just admit that. And just to put some numbers on this, so a lot of these are from Microsoft, at least at the top, and I think they're fairly accurate. So they think around 1 billion people use Microsoft Office. And I've looked at these numbers and tried to think about, like, do I believe that 1 out of every 7 people on the planet uses Office? And I find that plausible. Maybe 2/3 of them use spreadsheets. And that's particularly Excel, so that doesn't even count like Google Sheets or something. And then from other sources, we have reason to believe that at least half are using formulas. So these are not like pure little data rectangles. And then just on the other end of the spectrum, let's think about those of us who do analyses with scripts. Like, we're like many orders of magnitude less prevalent. So maybe 1 to 5 million people are using Python, and that's not even necessarily data-related work. And as best as I can tell, if anyone knows better, I'd be interested. Maybe 250,000 to 1 million people use R. So we're drastically outnumbered. And so even if one tiny fraction of these people, projects, and spreadsheets come our way, it would be nice if we're sort of better equipped to handle some of these realistic spreadsheets. So why do people use them? So I think there's a lot of people who don't analyze data all day, every day, and it's not entirely clear to me that it's worth it for them to make this switch from spreadsheets to R or Python just to do that little bit of data analysis they do. And so this is actually a bastardization of a Donald Rumsfeld quote, I think, about military forces. But the idea is a lot of people, it's like very hard to recognize when you cross that border that you shouldn't be using a spreadsheet anymore, like if there's not some red flag. And also, in any given day, that is definitely not the most efficient thing for you to do, is to stop everything and fire up some sort of tutorial. So I think that's one reason why we get so many spreadsheets. And then I've been looking at a lot of wild-caught spreadsheets. I'm going to tell you about this really interesting corpus that's available. And I now realize why I think people use them the way they do. And so people who don't necessarily have another tool for doing this, use spreadsheets as a way to corral a bunch of very disparate things. And so between having all the different worksheets or tabs and the freedom to put anything you want on the spreadsheet, you can get your data, some programming logic, figures, and decent looking tables, like all in one place and all in something that feels like one file. It's not, but it feels like one file to them. Plus, it's reactive. And that's the other thing I think we underestimate the power of. Like, we get very excited about making reactive things in R now, but that's one of the things people love about their spreadsheets, is that when they edit their data or they edit their programming logic, the figures update, the summary tables update, everything updates. And so I realize people use these the same way that I would make a very data analytic project, and for me that would also end up being a Git repository. And that's my preferred method of keeping a whole bunch of files together and in some sane fashion. So what do I do when I have to do that same task? I'll also have some sort of data file, R code in various forms, lots of user-facing stuff like figures and reports or maybe an app. And then I usually have to do something separate for my build and deploy solution. So in some sense, I feel like the spreadsheet has an advantage there, that it's built right in. But so in any case, I think it's unfair. A lot of people mock spreadsheet behaviors because they aren't preparing the sheets the way we want them to read data back out. But they're not just storing data. Like, this is also where they do a bit of their data analysis and visualization. So in anticipation of this talk, I actually solicited spreadsheet stories on Twitter and got an enormous response, because I think it is very cathartic for people to vent about the difficult spreadsheets that they've dealt with. And so there was a lot of public dialogue, but there was also a lot of private dialogue. So there's a lot of people who were willing to tell me things in email and direct messages that they weren't willing to put out there. And so I felt like I had become like the Kinsey report of spreadsheets. So this is a study, I think, that came out in the 40s, where like thousands of American men were interviewed about their sexual behavior, which hadn't really been done before and published. And people found all sorts of things about what was published quite shocking. So I figure I can write the spreadsheet version of this now that people have told me all of their secrets. And the conclusion I came to is that, especially if you don't work with spreadsheets a lot, that you have some notion of what you think people do in their spreadsheets, and you probably have an opinion about what you think they should be doing. And chances are that's quite different from what's actually going on. And our tools in particular seem to embody what we think people should be doing. So this corpus that's very interesting of actual spreadsheets, and it was made available because of the legal troubles with Enron. But the spreadsheets themselves have been made available by Felina Herman's group. So she has a really interesting research program at Delft. Like, she studies spreadsheets. And so she went through this corpus, which you can download, of 600,000 emails. And if you have emails, you have attachments. And if you have attachments, you have a lot of spreadsheets. So they pulled out all the Excel spreadsheets and made that available as a corpus. And so we want to use this to run our stuff against, to make sure we're like keeping it real. So at least half of them contain formulas. That's known in this corpus. And among the 15,000 spreadsheets, there's 80,000 worksheets, so like individual tabs. And I don't have the table in here anymore, but there's actually a workbook with 175 tabs. So there's a lot going on here that's very realistic. So it's an interesting set of spreadsheets to study. So here's one I swear selected at random. Again, put it out to the world saying, like, I don't think we have anything in R that can just read that. And why is that, right? There's so much going on here. We have a very beautifully formatted table. Clearly this wasn't really meant for data to be pulled out of, but I have a lot of things that come to me like this. We have figures embedded with tables, we have phone numbers, and in particular we have this sort of, I hear you like little spreadsheets inside your big spreadsheet thing, which is a very common pattern I see. Also in the Enron corpus, there's like entire seasons of the NFL betting pool. There's very complicated potluck organization. So it's just like the humanity is very apparent when you just start randomly opening these documents. Another phenomenon, this one, these examples aren't from Enron, this is from science, is a lot of times the data you actually need is present as formatting. So in this example, we have yellow is indicating something quite important, and then bold versus not bold is also indicating something quite important. So this is very unfortunate. You would like to train this away, but at some point you get these sheets and you need to get that formatting back out so that you can make it proper data. Another example of the, I hear you like little spreadsheets. Inside your big spreadsheets, what I call small multiples, because that's like this beautiful thing people do in visualization. And it's really, really hard when people send you spreadsheets like this and you're supposed to read data back out. And then another phenomenon, this is a real sheet from my life, is, again, I'm not sure how this happened. I know she regrets doing this now, but having data that only appears in a formula. So in this case, the only way to get the data back out is you need to get unevaluated formulas back out of the spreadsheet. So these are all sort of obstacles you have to deal with. And then the final one is another one that's like near and dear to everyone's hearts, is having data that's in a column header. And then this is generally highly correlated with merged cells as well, so that you get to deal with both of those at once. So that's kind of a gallery of the kinds of things that we wish wouldn't happen, but because these things are being used as a hybrid of data analysis and data presentation, you just see them an awful lot. So we have a lot of excellent packages for reading spreadsheets, and I want to be clear, I'm not knocking these packages. Use them if they solve your problem, by all means. I put them in a couple clumps. So the top two are both using C++. And I think if they open your thing, they'll be the fastest. The next two are the ones that wrap this Java library called the Apache POI. But that means you get involved with making sure that Java is playing nicely with R, which tends to give me some trouble. And then the final one is GData, which is the one I used for years and years and years. And actually, its Excel reading capability is coming from a Perl script that comes with a package. So a lot of these can present some sort of problem because there's like a second, somewhat tricky dependency. And it's not necessarily tricky for you, but it's tricky if you're teaching a class of 70 or 80 people to get it set up and working on everyone's machine. So this is what Rich and I wanted to fill, like this gap is what we wanted to fill. And so we wrote down kind of a list of things that we wanted. We wanted no Java. Whatever we wrote, we wanted it to be agnostic as early as possible about whether you're pulling data out of Excel or a Google Sheet. And then the more we thought about it, we were like, or it could just be like a really ill-formed CSV, right? Like that's we get some of these weird column header things going on in other file formats. So bring it into some sort of first class, top level R object that holds a spreadsheet. And then expose the data, obviously, but in particular unformatted data. And I don't just mean bold versus italic. I also mean bare of numeric formatting, because that's another tricky part with Excel in terms of what happens with numeric formats, to expose unevaluated formulas in the first instance to get data out, like what I showed you. But I also think, I mean, we definitely have it in our sights to parse the formulas themselves and to expose formatting. And so some of these packages do expose some of these things, let me be clear, but they only do it for Excel. And then downstream, like once you've got this spreadsheet object in R in a way that you can actually manipulate, we're interested in detecting and proposing views. So I'm going to show you an example of that in a moment, which is the mini spreadsheets in a big spreadsheet. And building in some handling for these weird headers and merged cells. So how are we doing it? So this is very early, early progress. We only started talking about it in December. But so there's a package called Linen. I have links at the end. Rich named this. I find this rather posh, but I decided to go with it because I can't think of anything better. So there's a Linen package. It instantiates a Linen object, which is this spreadsheet receptacle. And the idea is like we're going to actually document this thing and design it. I think a lot of these other packages, they have to have something like this inside, but they quickly try to get to a reshaped data frame and send it back out. And the idea is that we're going to deal with some of these dirtier sheets that have bigger problems, and you need to hold on to it. So we want metadata on the document, metadata on the worksheets, like how many there are, what their names are, what their extent is, whether they contain formulas, whether they refer to other worksheets in the same workbook, and then the cell data, but with a really broad definition of that. So I'll show you in a diagram in a second. We're using Google Sheets and this Excel reader we wrote just because we needed one to have control over it, can read data out of those different formats and like shove it into one of these things. And if it's simple, you just kick it right back out as a data frame, and like no one's the wiser that it went through this intermediate stage. But if it's not, now you can expose this thing for remedial work. So the idea is it will look something like this, where you can pull data out of various spreadsheet formats, but we're only targeting these two. And if it's simple, you kick it right back out as a data frame. But when it's not simple, you can pass it, for example, to this, again, very early jailbreaker package that will deal with some of these sort of pathological things on your way to getting one or more data frames back out of these sheets. So here's an example of something I can do in Google Sheets now. This is not using Linen because this sort of predated it. But just to get you a sense of what I'm interested in, so if you look at that one variable or column formula, it's got a hyperlink, a sum with numeric formatting, it's grabbing an image off the web, an address within the sheet, and a sparkline. So if you just bring it in the normal way, oops, you get this character information, which is not necessarily what you want. But that's what hits your eyeballs in the spreadsheet. And so we're starting to get these more general ideas of the cell contents. So you could get unevaluated formulas, which is what the person would have had to type to get this, and then the numeric value if such a thing exists. So that's what I mean by cell data, more broadly defined, this plus formatting information. So I'll end with this example from Frank Ermes. That's the person who made this spreadsheet. So we brought this in through our Excel, and Rich has already made, and this is all very much Rich here, these last couple examples, a nice print method. So a lot of times when I bring these sheets in, I look at it in Excel and it looks like it's going to be this big. And then I get a data frame with like 4,000 rows. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? So the nice things about his print method is you get this overview of where the data is. He's a very console terminal-based person, so my job is to make a plot method for this. But so you can see which cells are populated. The arrows are indicating large regions of merged cells pointing back to the anchor cell. And then the one-letter codes tell you whether it's character or numeric, or we don't have any formulas here, but they would. And if I had picked a colored sheet, that would also be reflected. But so this is the explanation for why the sheet comes in with 122 rows and all the way out to column AEs, because someone has felt inspired to park their congratulations to Dan on winning the weekend getaway to Lake Louise far, far, far off the sheet. I guess it's supposed to be subtle. But so this is exactly the kind of thing that happens to me every time I try to import data, is intentionally or not, there's some weirdness going on somewhere that like completely confuses the thing trying to just bring a clean rectangle in. And then we also have like an early thing for finding these little mini spreadsheets. So split sheet will split a sheet into views and propose, I hear you like mini spreadsheets in your big spreadsheet, and the one corresponding to that one is shown here. So again, you can print those to get their structure and then pull them out as individual data frames. So that, like the very, very early version of these things is all here. We made an organization called R Sheets. And as of actually during this session, Rich made the Excel sheets, the Enron corpus, available on GitLab. It's not so easily available from Faelina's group. It's on Figshare and it's compressed. So we actually uncompressed everything. And I can report that we run without fatal error over the entire Enron corpus. We're not entirely sure what that means. We need to look at the things and see if it's garbage. But so all 80,000 worksheets will come in without error. Take that forever, what you think. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jenny.